previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
Okay, it is Dietitians Week, and this year's theme is more than just a job, celebrating the nutrition experts who transform lives and impact communities through healthy eating, care, and prevention. And in marking the occasion this morning, we're joined by dietitian Mary Ann Victor, who also happens to be my amazing and very patient dietitian. Mary Ann, I'm so glad that the tables have turned and I get to put you in the hot seat for a change. The microphone is my version of the scale. Welcome to Algoa FM Breakfast, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so this morning we're going to play a quick game of Dietitian Mythbusters. We're going to have three parts to this chat. We're going to do the Mythbusters. We are going to do fact or fiction. So in both, we're just going to give you statements in essence and you will break them down for us.
Okay.
And then we're also going to give listeners an opportunity to engage directly with a dietitian. Here is your opportunity, folks. Ask whatever questions you may on Telegram, 0617 940 940. We'll field them and we'll push them through to Mary Ann, and hopefully she'll get to some of them. We obviously won't be able to get to all of them, but she'll certainly try and get to a lot of them. Okay. Mythbusters, dietitian mythbusters. Mary Ann, myth number one. Dietitians only help people lose weight.
Okay, so that's definitely a myth. Okay, so a dietitian can help in all stages of life, from pregnancy, breastfeeding, through to your picky eaters. We help with weight loss, weight gain, all your medical conditions. So if we look at your conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, kidney disease, we can help with that. We can also help with sports nutrition, or just for that mom who wants to make sure her family's actually healthy and being fed properly. We can even help with that. So if I will have to sum that up very briefly, I would say we turn confusion into clarity. Okay, so there's plenty of nutrition information out there. I mean, we all know that. You put on the internet, you get it. But what a dietitian does is we will take evidence-based nutrition and then we will turn it into practical ways that are realistic for you to actually follow at home. And we'll really tailor that for each individual patient that we see.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was actually quite shocked because Charlie and I were emceeing the Big Walk for Cancer launch, the Algoa FM Isuzu Big Walk for Cancer launch, and seeing yourself there and a couple of other folk. Yeah. And I said to you, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And you were there as someone who usually assists cancer patients with their diet.
Correct.
So that was quite surprising for me and, you know, very interesting as well.
I actually thought you came there to watch Lee. To see what she was eating. I said, you guys are taking this way too far.
No, that too, but yeah.
Myth two, Charlie.
All right, myth two. Dietitians want you to stop eating all your favorite foods.
No, that's definitely a myth. So I think, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to see a dietitian. I'm just going to get this list of all these expensive items that I don't even eat. But that's not true. What we do is we actually take a diet history from what you usually like to eat. And we try and sort of tailor that into foods that's just healthier. Mm. So, for example, if you say you love your KFC, Charlie, what we're going to do is we're going to teach you how to make a healthier version of a chicken at home, which might vaguely resemble KFC.
Okay, gotcha. Mm. All right.
All right, and then myth three. If I'm exercising, Mary Ann, I can eat whatever I want.
Definitely a myth. So no, I think we firstly got to determine, why are you exercising? Are you exercising just to lose weight? Are you exercising to be healthier? But remember, exercise can't outweigh an unhealthy diet. Mm. There's no way that that's ever going to happen. Mm. You've still got to watch what you eat.
I think it is important, you touched on it there where you mentioned, you know, you've got to understand why you're exercising. And even from my own experience, it was so important to understand the goal first.
Yes.
And my goal was weight loss. So for instance, and I share this with family and friends who I talk to about my journey, things like olive oil or avocado or nuts or coconut oil are all very healthy and they can be incorporated into a diet. But for someone like myself whose goal right now is weight loss, there are things that I need to limit.
Absolutely. And I think just to touch on that, we got to remember that foods have calories. And if you want to lose weight, we got to be mindful of how many calories you're eating. Mm-hmm. So it's what is going to make up those calories. And a lot of those products you mentioned are sort of your fats, which naturally have higher calories.
Yes.
So it would make sense to cut those very calorie-dense foods to enable you to eat larger portions of the lower calorie-dense foods.
So last myth for now, Mary-Ann, healthy eating is expensive.
So no, this is definitely a myth. Have you ever looked at what it costs to go and buy all your medication at the pharmacy every month or all those, you know, over-the-counter meds just to try and, you know, get rid of the aches and pains?
Mm.
No. Healthy eating doesn't have to be expensive. Again, we would try and incorporate the everyday kinds of foods. You know, your eggs, your beans, your lentils.
Pulchards.
Yeah, those foods don't have to be expensive at all.
We're now going to do fact or fiction. I'm going to give you a statement, then Charlie will, then Wayne will. You will then confirm whether it is fact or fiction and give us a short explanation as to your response. First question, fact or fiction? You can be overweight and healthy. Overweight doesn't mean unhealthy.
Okay, Lisa, I think this is a little bit of fact and fiction. I think we need to make sure we don't confuse with health with body size, okay? They are related, but they're actually not the same thing. So, true, you can be overweight, but not necessarily have diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol. But we need to remember, if there's excess weight, especially like excess visceral fat, it could put you at risk of developing those conditions.
Okay. Charlton, fact or fiction?
Okay, I'll go to. Okay. Carbs can make you fat.
Ha. This is quite a common question we get asked and a lovely one for social media. Mm. So, no, short of it all, carbs alone do not make you fat.
Okay.
If we have a look and we say 1 gram of carbohydrates contains 17 kilojoules, right? But then we look and we say 1 gram of fat contains 38 kilojoules.
Mm.
At the end of the day, it's also got to do with how many kilojoules you eat.
Yeah.
So it's what's making up those kilojoules.
It's a balance.
Balance.
All right. This is something I do quite a lot. Mm. Drinking more water helps weight loss.
Ooh, okay. So, yes, it does, because obviously we need the water to help oxidize the fat. Drinking water prevents you from boredom eating, boredom snacking, all of that. So, yes, in a sense, drinking water does help you lose weight.
Okay.
Can I just add a little caveat to that? Because there is nobody I know who drinks more water than Wayne Hart.
He drinks 10,000 litres from a JoJo tank.
Mary-Ann on an empty stomach right through until he goes to bed and shuts his little blue eyes, I'm sure.
I love my water.
Charlton, you had a question
water. I think it's while we're on the topic of water, Mary-Ann.
Yes.
When is it too much? Can it be too much drinking water?
Yes, so absolutely. No. I think this definitely depends on, you know, the environment, the circumstances. But yes, you can drink too much water, because if you start drinking too much water, you're actually going to start excreting a lot of your good nutrients. Mm, we need to also put those electrolytes back.
Yeah. Mm.
So there is a point where water could become too much. But for most of you out there that average 1.5 to 2 litres a day, that's not too much.
Okay. Right.
Charlton doesn't even hit those targets.
I do.
250 moles a day.
Here's my next fact or fiction question. Fruit is too high in sugar and should be avoided.
Okay. So yes, fruit does contain sugar. But remember, when you break your fruit sugar down, it breaks down to the same glucose as would your bread, your rice, your pasta. So we do want to eat fruit because it still contains your good nutrients, but not too much.
Okay.
All right. Here's one. Eggs are bad for cholesterol.
Okay. So I think eggs have come under the spotlight quite a lot in the past, and the information coming through changes regularly. At the moment, no, eggs do not cause cholesterol. Often, it's the butter and the oil that you cook the eggs in that causes the cholesterol.
And the mayonnaise that goes with it sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. Brown bread is better than white.
Okay, so I think this one, again, depends on individual medical conditions, but we generally want more fiber.
Yeah.
So definitely it's the fiber we're after.
Yeah.
Last one from me. Dairy is for baby cows only.
Huh. No. I think dairy is a really important part of every healthy diet. Remember, dairy contains your calcium, your magnesium, your vitamin D. So dairy, definitely part of a balanced diet.
All right, okay. So a couple of questions that have come through to the studio, if you don't mind, if we're going to ask you some of these questions, people that are listening into us. The first one, how healthy, Mary Ann, is a braai?
Huh, I might have many haters after this, right? So the short
I
answer...
I bought lots of hood, Mary Ann, just saying.
The short answer is, what is on your braai? And what are you eating with your braai?
Okay,
so braai itself is not unhealthy. But what I normally recommend is, let's have a chicken braai tonight with a green salad. Tomorrow night, let's have the steak braai. Let's not do chicken and steak and rashers and sausage and in one meal.
And we like
so
to
is it
do
better
that.
To have a braai than 3 or 4 times a week than to have one big, because it's very much an occasion for a lot of people?
No, absolutely. You know, I think braaiing is quite a healthy way of cooking because all that fat drips out. It doesn't sort of get reabsorbed into the meat. So I'm very pro the braaiing process. It's more the amount and what you're eating with
and
it.
And the garlic bread.
And a lot of people like to marinate their meat, which contains a lot of sugar in it as well. That's the other thing too.
The sugars and the oils and the fats.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Then there was another one from a listener who said they have diabetes type 1. And they wanted to know, they say it's difficult for them to stick to a diet for diabetics because the prices are so high. What do they do?
Okay, so I think, you know what, it really depends on what you like to eat. With diabetes, you don't have to eat fancy food. I mean, we could eat frozen vegetables, which are just as healthy as your fresh veg, and often come on special. Your beans and lentils and pulses are a really good source of fiber, carbohydrates, protein. Eggs are a little bit more reasonable if you don't want to buy your meat. So there definitely is a way around eating healthily on a budget.
Mm. Well, Mary Ann, someone says also your comment about being healthy and overweight is so true. I'm overweight, but I can outrun, outcycle, outswim people who are considered an ideal weight. I've outdone people at work with some of the things I do who are the same age, but I can go on the floor, fix a PC and hop up with no issues. And then someone else just giving you some love this morning. Is it Simone or Simone from East London who says, no question, she just wanted to say you're fantastic. Here is one that we do have to ask. And then Wayne's also got one that a lot of people, it's very topical at the moment.
Very, very topical, yeah.
Louis wants to know what your opinion is about, he says 16-8 intermittent fasting, but I think just generally your opinion on intermittent fasting.
So Lee, I think this is very individualized per healthcare professional. Me personally, I don't find that intermittent fasting is sustainable for a lot of people. And at the end of the day, I really want to promote lifestyle changes, something that you can do long term. So once you've lost the weight or once you've achieved that health goal, you can continue to maintain it. So for me, I do prefer the eating regularly because I find that if you're waiting until 12 o'clock and you're starving,
that was me.
But you know, you actually get hangry because you can't eat yet. That's not really realistic.
And then my question too, and I think we're going to have to wrap it up then. Yeah. We can talk about this all morning though, because it's such an interesting conversation. Very hot topic at the moment is GLP-1s. And for those that don't know, GLP-1s are your Ozempex, your Mounjaros.
The jabs.
And a lot of people are using it at the moment. As a dietitian, as a professional dietitian, what is your take on the usage of GLP-1s at the moment?
Okay, so Wayne, I'm going to give you my opinion because I think every dietitian is entitled to their own take on this.
Absolutely.
But from my point of view is we've actually been using these in practice for the last 10 to 15 years
Wow.
and very successfully. I have absolutely nothing against the medication itself. I think it's how it's used is what's important. So if you're going to use it in conjunction with a healthy lifestyle, with the long-term sort of changes, then there is a place for it. It's dangerous when, number one, you're not getting it from a reputable source. So I think a lot of people are just buying it on the black market. Or when you're using it and think it's just a quick fix to eat what you want. Then, unfortunately, the long-term results might not be what you set out for.
So use it in conjunction with a healthy, balanced diet provided by your dietitian.
Absolutely.
And you'll see the results. And are we talking about long-term as well, more specifically? Because somebody has just asked the same question now.
Absolutely. I think, you know, remember it's a tool to help you. There is no magic wand.
Marianne, so there are tons more questions, you know, and a lot of them are obviously very much individualized and we can't get to them now. Wayne's forehead is sweating, which usually means it's time for us to say goodbye.
Growing in.
But people are wanting to know everything from I suffer from Crohn's and most fruit causes flares. What do you suggest? Someone wants to know about how much coffee they're drinking in a day. How do people get hold of you if they're wanting to reach out and pose, you know, their questions or maybe make an appointment or whatever?
I have to jump in because it relates to that very question. I think, Marianne, a lot of people will look at someone, they've lost weight and they're seeing a dietitian. Can you just share your recipes with me? Everyone is individual. So
absolutely.
I think that's the key as well.
Yes.
So you can't just copy someone's meal plan from a dietitian because it won't work for you because you're a different type.
Absolutely. And everyone comes with their own set of sort of conditions, their own lifestyle that they're leading, and we've got to individualize it. So, Lee, to just get back to your question, you can go onto the ADSA website, which is the Association for Dietitians in South Africa, and there you will find a list of all the dietitians if you're wanting to contact someone. Myself, I'm based at Intercare Medical Center in Warmer, so I work from there.
Okay. All right. Well, there you have it, folk. And now you know why she's called Marianne the Pocket Rocket. Marianne, thank you so much for joining us this morning and for helping us celebrate National Dietitians Week. And I think today's conversation is a reminder that dietitians do so much more than help people lose weight. You know, so yes, thank you for joining us. And on a personal note, thank you for the role that you've played in my own journey to date. And this is where you boys can give me a round of applause. I have lost 34 kg. Under this woman's care.
Thank you very much.
So, yes, the real change has been in the habits and, you know, the sustainability and the consistency and so on. So, thank you very, very much. Thanks for the work you do and thank you for joining us on Algoa FM Breakfast.
And thank you for having me.
Thanks, Marianne.
Thank you, Marianne.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.